Well, we've assembled the round table on a very quiet news day here in Berea. Wow. Jimmy, it starts off with, of course, the announcement that both Pat Shurmur and Tom Heckert have been fired. This is what happens in the league the Monday after the end of the season. I mean, it happens every year, but it happens here a lot in the history of this team, and I think the emphasis of the message from Jimmy Haslam, Joe Banner, is they fully intend to get it right. I mean, that was what a lot of folks asked them about today.
Well, I think that a lot of people would be happy with that. And, of course, we can't say that they've been part of this, you know, change every other year because this is their first swing at it here with the Browns. The Browns must get off the Ryder Cup schedule of doing this every other year. Yeah. I mean, that's when the Ryder Cup is held, and you got to get away from this doing it every other year. So you have to wait for these guys to make the pick. I think they're confident they can do it. But I think that, in all honesty, I mean, I think I felt this was going to happen from August when the change in ownership had really hit a deal and then got voted through and six games in. I mean, when you pay that kind of money, you get to run the shop, and they're going to run the shop.
Doug, did you have any sense that it was going to come down like this late in the year when this team got a three-game winning streak? There was some buzz and conversation that maybe Pat Shurmur could possibly save his job with that, but that unraveled pretty quickly. But where were you thinking on this?
Well, I thought you looked at the roster and you saw the youth that they had and the potential that they have, and you thought, well, you know, it's all been put together pretty much by Tom Heckert, and, you know, with that said, you would have thought, you know, that's a pretty good resume. And I think as they talk today about, you know, this being an attractive job, well, the reason it's attractive is because of those pieces and parts that were put in place. But then, as we all know, this is a bottom-line business, and it all comes down to the wins and losses. And obviously they have an idea of what type of people they want in the organization to run that the football aspect of it. And, you know, the thing is, you got to have a plan B because you don't always get plan A.
Yeah, you know, when Jimmy Haslam mentioned the carousel today, I wanted to show him my season pass. This has been, it just hasn't stopped,
yeah,
Vic, and you got to hope that they do get it right. Obviously, as Doug mentioned, they've got a plan of attack. They're going to go out and meet a lot of people, and something tells me, though, that they've got a couple people at the very top of their list, and I think in the next few days where that's probably going to come pretty clear that they're going to target a few and go after them hard.
What's interesting, Jim, is how that was presented. First of all, that they have a specific pool from which they will hire a coach and a general manager, but that in order it will be head coach first.
Yeah.
And the other part of this is that the head coach clearly is going to have the, you know, the greater power, I would guess, of the two that are hired, and that the GM could be GM or director of player personnel.
Yeah, I thought that was incredibly telling. I really do. I thought that put the breadcrumbs in place and takes you to Tuscaloosa. I think that's your first stop. I really do. I believe that other than, you know, everything that you said, other than not coming out and saying Nick Saban, I think that they're interested in the Alabama coach, and who wouldn't be? Because I think he would be that kind of guy. Now, there are other guys too, but I think the way they described it in that order of doing it takes you away from the typical coordinator who is trying to, you know, who is just happy to get the job in the NFL and going to be guided by a GM.
Yeah, it's a power position, Doug, at that coaching spot where you're going to ask him to be more than just a coach. He's going to have say over his roster, and he's going to have say over personnel decisions.
And, you know, you've seen it both ways. You've seen it, you know, where Mangini kind of hired his GM, and you've seen it the other way. And you've seen it work, but the key is getting the right guy. And, you know, obviously they've got a couple people penciled in as their top pick and second and A1 and A2. So, you know, that's going to be important.
You know, piggybacking off what Doug said earlier, though, whoever comes in here is going to inherit a much better situation than Pat Shurmur was dealt when he took over here a couple of years ago. And, you know, I'm not apologizing for the job that Pat did. I think he would admit he made some mistakes over the last couple of years. But, you know, for what he had to deal with, you know, between the lockout and the ownership change, I think it's just been a very difficult hand for him to deal with.
But, you know, in saying that, I mean, I think Pat took the job the way he was supposed to take the job, and that was he wasn't really on the radars a red-hot coordinator.
Right, right.
I mean, St. Louis had not made the playoffs. He had done a good job with Sam Bradford in that first year. So he took the job and then took a look at the consequences after, because you never know if you're going to get your shot at it.
Yep.
And he took it. This, the way they described it today, is going to be different, I think.
And when Mike Holmgren and Tom Heckert came in the year before, you know, they – It was almost, you know, like when Chris Palmer came in. You had a brand new roster. Mm-hmm. Now you got to develop. And Chris Palmer, I mean, you look back to 99 and the struggles that he went through with that team and all the young players. And unfortunately, back then, they didn't draft very well. But, you know, Tom Heckert has done a good job of drafting.
And I did ask Trent Richardson today if he's going to be able to convince Saban to come here. And he wouldn't promise me that. But he did light up when he heard about the possibility that they might make a run at him.
You know, more so than he did a week or 10 days ago. I have to tell you,
More so.
I mean, he was a little bit more open to it.
Yeah. This is the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. Doug Deacon, his partner in the Browns Radio Network booth. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, you know, it was interesting. Both Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner, during their news conference, talked about the fact that Pat Shurmur and Tom Heckert left the team better than when they arrived. And I think that was more than polite. Goodbye. Absolutely. I think, first of all, they didn't have to say that or anything about what their time was like here. But I believe there's truth in that. This is a better team than we saw before 2011.
Oh.
And I think right now there is a core, there's a foundation that should make it attractive for incoming folks.
Well, I mean, that roster before Tom Heckert got here came with a tube of Bengay. I mean, that was an old, slow roster that had no future to it. It was just putting years on, you know, their pension plan. This has completely changed right now. And not only that, but a lot of the heavy lifting's been done. Not only did they bring the players in, but they played them. I mean, that press conference at the end of training camp, just before the the start of the regular season, when they named that roster, and people went, "Excuse me, Coach, you're going to try and win on Sundays, not Saturdays, Sundays, with 17 rookies on the roster?" And he said, "Yeah, we're going to try and do it."
Well, and you go to yesterday, the oldest defensive back was Joe Hayden, 23 years old.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a pretty young roster.
And two rookies were involved in the two mistakes that ultimately decide that game: two fumbles by rookies.
And again, credit to Pat and his staff for seeing that through this year, knowing very well that they may be out at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I think they were put in a tough spot. I think they understood it the whole way through.
Yeah.
Let's take a minute here, too, to talk about Pat Shurmur, because he came with the credentials of someone who had worked, as we mentioned, offensive coordinator in St. Louis, the 10 years he spent before that in Philadelphia, a guy who was, I think, solidly versed in offensive football, in the passing game, has his own ideas. Not sure, and you know, the argument will be made, well, was he ever really ready to be a head coach? And then the results of 9 wins in 2 years will automatically tell people they weren't. I think he was growing up on the job, and I think part of what this new ownership was looking at is can't have the patience to wait for your coach to grow up along with young players.
No, that's right. I mean, that's a heavy load right there. I think Jimmy Haslam, and I heard him speak socially one time, not at a football function, but I heard him speak, and he said, "Hey, listen, I'm not kidding anybody here. We need to get this thing going in 2 years." Mm. Now, that's a short. A lot of owners come in and say, "Hey, this is going to take time."
Yeah.
But this guy hit it right. You know, he punched you right in the nose with reality, because I think, you know, from the time he sat in the stands with the team, with the dog pound fans during the exhibition season, I think he got the point. The point is, hey, listen, we've been waiting. Yeah. You know, we're like the Schmales kid in Caddyshack. Well, we're waiting, and we've waited, okay? And I think that he realizes that. So, Vic, I think you're right. I don't think they've got 5 years here. I think he realizes he's got two, you know, to dramatically, you know, booster this thing.
And get the Schmales kid to buy a season ticket.
Absolutely.
The other part of Pat, you know, when Mike Holmgren came, he was kind of like the face of the franchise, but he really didn't seem like he wanted to be that.
Mm.
And I think Pat embraced that job because he went out and really – tried to be as visible and as outgoing as any coach we've seen here. And, you know, that's an added responsibility. And we still get back to a young team and the fact that the collective bargaining agreement only allows you X amount of practices.
Right.
And you're trying to develop a young team in a shorter period of time. You're really squeezing the schedule.
Yeah, it was in difficult, if not impossible, circumstances, but they are what they are, and they were true for other first-year coaches. That can be another argument made, Jim Harbaugh, San Francisco, except that they had different rosters, than this one. Tom Heckert, for his part, Tom, brings in a lot of players that are going to be part of the core of this football team. So I think from the standpoint of this move, while folks might say, gee, why couldn't you find a way to keep Tom Heckert here, I think you're keeping the best of what he brought here and can add to that. You don't necessarily – doesn't necessarily have to go backward because Tom Heckert isn't in the building.
And from what we understand, the personnel department is going to stay somewhat intact. The scouting department. I mean, at least there's guys in this building who have been told, hey, when you're going out and looking for a middle linebacker, this is what we're after. So I think that's a nice – you know, place to start for whoever comes in here to take this thing over. But I think Tom did a tremendous job in his 3 years here. As Jimmy pointed out before, that roster was just, it was awful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's be honest. And,
it was.
And you know, and he plugged all kinds of holes. And look at these young guys that he's found, these undrafted guys that he's been able to plug in. So he's a tremendous job.
Tom, you know the other thing that he did? It's what he didn't do. He did not saddle them with free agents that they paid a ton of money for. It's a very cap-friendly situation. I mean, it's got young players, but now you have some room that if you want to come in and do something, you can do it.
Well, and your biggest problem is going to be is all these young players, their contract's going to come up at the
same,
same time.
So, I mean, that's not Tom's problem anymore.
he did do a great job.
They're going to be hard-pressed to find a better talent evaluator.
Yeah, I think Tom Heckert has established that in a big, big way. But to the point of now bringing talent in and meshing it with what you're going to do systematically. Mm-hmm. We look at the choice for head coach here, and that's why this process does have to happen relatively quickly. That's why I think we heard there wasn't a specific timetable given, but I think we heard in the next week or so, which I think, as you say, narrows it down maybe to your point of Tuscaloosa, whatever it might be. But what I'm saying here is that you've got to know what this coach is putting in. What kind of scheming is he going to do? Because the Senior Bowl is right around the corner. You're going to start in earnest looking at and evaluating talent and setting your board, but it has to be system specific.
Yeah, it really does, and you're right about that. You know, but you have your basics there. I mean, Trent Richardson can play in any kind of offense, and he admitted today he basically played with two broken ribs the entire year.
Two or three.
Yeah, two or three.
Incredible.
You know, Whedon looks like, I mean, if you're going to go with Whedon, I mean, you know, he looks like a drop back guy that, you know, can throw the ball. Now, if you were going to go really far-fetched in this thing, and if the spread started to leak into the NFL and it found its way to Cleveland, then, boy, you've got some decisions, like you said, that you'd have to make with personnel. The thing you worry about is, are you going to go, you know, would you change defensively dramatically? Because then that changes your roster a great deal.
That's the tougher change.
That's the tougher change.
If you went to a 3-4, you'd be taking step backs because you don't have the linebackers to play it.
Right.
You've got a great rotation on your defensive line right now. And, you know, you got DeQuell. The other two parts, you know, Chris Gokong, when he comes back, I guess he's been working out and looks great. You've got two. Now you need this, you know, third one. Mayavi didn't do bad, and we found Robertson. So, but I think, you know, definitely on the defensive side, you've got to stay in the 4-3 to really utilize the people you have.
And there's that Notre Dame linebacker that Jimmy likes so much.
Yeah.
So could be available with the number 6 pick.
Yeah, Manti Te'o's out there,
But I think, too, and I've seen this happen before with other teams, you can do that. If you, even at the core, if you think you'd rather do the 3-4 thing initially, you've got to go with your what you have on your roster because it could you could really set yourself up for a failure, and other teams have done this. I'm not sure if it's perfectly done, but I'm thinking of some teams that just have started in one either of like a 4-3 base or a 3-4 base, go back to 4-3, and going from 4-3 to 3-4 I think is a much bigger and tougher challenge, but it's got to be factored into the thinking here somewhere.
You know, I think the thing that makes the team so attractive to somebody out there who is a potential head coaching candidate is that both lines are really solid right now. Both lines look good.
Yeah, and the other thing is, and it was brought up in the news conference about quarterback, Doug, and mentioning, you know, whether that would be something that the new incoming coach would find either attractive or have the ability to adjust and deal with it. I would think right off the bat you're saying, hey, this is your team, do with it as you will. But it's understood that Brandon Whedon's in place as a first-round pick last year. He's not going anywhere. And in all likelihood, you're going to at least go through year one with that guy unless you are thinking about someone else long-term.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, we played Denver a couple weeks ago, and you saw what they did when they had Tim Tebow. They adjusted their offense to
him.
In the night of Get Payton, it's a different offense. But I think that's going to be the key is the guy that can fit the personnel, you know, his offense around the personnel.
Yeah.
And I think there's some detractors about Whedon out there, but I think the general consensus, Vic, is that we saw enough this year to build off of him. And I think any coach coming in would see it the same way.
The thing I also liked and took from this news conference is the understanding that both Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner do have for what this fan base wants and needs to feel confident again. No one will embrace just the initial blow up. They'll say, here we go again on that count. But I think the stability, and Jimmy hasn't mentioned this. He said it sounded self-serving, Jim, that he was going to say this about stability of ownership. But that's a true statement.
I definitely think
that this team hasn't had.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think that as I looked at the two gentlemen sitting up there at the podium, I think they're very, very confident that they're going to get this done, that they will get their man that they want, and you know that their list is there, and that they've targeted this. I mean, these two guys just didn't meet. They've been together.
Right.
They've had a lot of discussions, as they've said, heated discussions, good discussions, informative discussions. I think this was their opening day today.
Yeah.
This was their opening day.
And it feels different, Doug, than what Randy Lerner had done previously in saying, okay, I'm going to hand this off to Mike Holmgren and let him handle it. And even though you're handing it to someone with great credentials, but he was playing both the role of owner and president, to see and the actual owner sitting there next to his next guy in charge, his CEO.
Yeah.
I think that had the feel of more confidence.
Yeah, and Mike Holmgren was here just to put the football part together. The business part, you know, was obvious that was not an interest to him.
Right.
Where now you've got Joe Banner, who's very good at the business part of it. He's had the success in Philadelphia. Jimmy Haslam has been with the Pittsburgh organization.
Right.
He's got a taste of how to, put continuity together. And, because he mentioned the number of coaches over their 30-year span as the coach. I think this is about the 12th time I've seen him change coaches here since I've been around. You can't have that. You've got to get stability.
And I also get the feeling that Jimmy Haslam is going to enjoy this competition that's going to be out there. There's going to be, upwards of 10 to 12 teams that are all going to be looking for
a coach.
He relishes it. Yeah, he does. I mean, that's that athlete in him.
Boy, that's an amazing number. You're right, though. I mean, 10 to 12 teams out there.
But
there 10 to 12 head coaches, in waiting out there?
I mean, if you mix college with the pros, possibly.
Much more mixable now, though.
It is
you think?
Much
more mixable than it was in the past.
But I think, here's the thing. I think the wherewithal is here to hire the best guy.
Yeah.
And the situation isn't necessarily attractive.
Yeah.
It's attractive.
Absolutely.
It's not a turnoff.
Oh, definitely.
Well, it was funny how they were saying how attractive it was because of it. Yet in the same thing, unfortunately, we got to let Tom Hecker go. It's a mixed signal, but it showed a lot of respect for what Tom has done.
No
I
question.
Think Deacon wants to put his hat in the ring now. He wants to take his team over, right?
No.
We want to thank you guys. The Roundtable, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.